no good work. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Only in Christ alone, the name of Jesus. I hope you know Him this evening. I hope your neighbors know Him. I hope your family knows Him. Amen. Because they're not here. Some of them aren't here. We got to go tell them about this Christ, the one that came from heaven, the Son of God. And so praise the Lord. If He saved your soul, amen. Don't keep it to yourself. Go give it away. Amen. That's what God left us here for His glory and for His honor. Amen. That's why we're going to the Dominican Republic, to give glory to God in the sight of all those people so they can do the same. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Let's get started with some prayer. Father, we thank You so much for Jesus Christ. God, we thank You for Your great love, whereby, Lord, You loved us even while we're yet sinners. Father, we thank You for the wonderful salvation that's found in His name. God, we thank You for the wonderful works that You're doing among the children of men, even here in Clayton, North Carolina, in our lives. Father, we praise You and we thank You that You're the God in heaven, the one who cares about us. Father, the one who gave His only begotten Son for us. Father, we thank You and praise You. Lord, You're the great and the mighty and the everlasting God. There's none like You. And God, our desire, Father, is to worship You in spirit and in truth. And God, to give You glory, honor, and praise and thanksgiving. Father, if there is one here tonight that doesn't know Jesus as Savior, Lord God, would You save them? Father, would You send Your Holy Ghost conviction in their lives? God, would You share with them the good news of the gospel in their hearts? God, that they might believe on You, Lord, and be saved. Father, we'll thank You for what You're going to do. Lord, I pray that You'd minister to our hearts from Your word this evening. And God, we'll give You the glory and honor and thanksgiving for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Open your Bibles this evening. We're going to look in Romans chapter 3, just two verses this evening, but we're going to go many other places, and we're going to be looking at being guilty before God. This is a sober subject. This is a serious subject. This subject has a down perspective when you look at it alone, but I got some good news to share with you along with it. But we're guilty before God. Open your Bibles to Romans 3:19. And then keep your finger there and go to James chapter 2 and verse number 10. Guilty before God. Oh, my friends, we stand before a holy God. Everyone shall give account before this holy God. The Bible says in Romans 3:19, and then open to James chapter 2, verse number 10. I appreciate you bringing the Word of God, bringing the true Word of God, the eternal Word of God. I appreciate you having it there ready to access. Praise the Lord. We can read it in our own language. Amen. Take it home with us. Pray God. We can pray to God with His Word. Amen. Praise the Lord for His precious Word. All right, we're going to read now Romans 3:19. You follow along. I'll read. Romans 3:19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. And James 2:10 says, for whosoever, go ahead and turn over there, James 2:10, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he's guilty of all. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the reading of Your Word in Romans 3 and James 2. God, we know this is a serious subject, Father, about us being guilty before You on the day of judgment. God, we thank You that it doesn't end there, but Lord, You've given us a message of hope beyond that. Father, I pray that You'd bless the reading of Your Word now, and we'll thank You for these things forever and ever in Your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. Guilty before God. Are we guilty? Amen. What's the verdict? And when we talk about guilt, have you been there? Did you know that there's a day of judgment coming? Huh? And now I'm not just talking to the people in this room, because you have loved ones. Amen. You have neighbors, amen. And they, just like you and I, are found guilty on the day of judgment. Did you know what the Bible says in Hebrews 9:27? That's appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Hey, we all have that appointment with death. We've seen it over and over and over and over. We know it's a day that's certainly coming for you and I. And praise the Lord, Jesus is coming again, friend. Hey, if you're a believer, if you've been born again, you might have an out on that day, because Jesus take you up, get you caught in the air. But if that day lingers, because God is long-suffering, He's not willing that any should perish, and He wants us to go to the Dominican and share Jesus with somebody else, hey, then we're going to have a day when we have an appointment with death. And so it is with your family, and so it is with your neighbors, and so it is with the people that you talk to in the grocery stores, and so it is in the people that you meet at the mall and at the banks. These all have an appointment with death. But the Bible didn't stop there in Hebrews 9:27. It says, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment." Not only do we have an appointment with death, but there's a judgment day coming after this. And it's for believer and unbeliever alike. Different judgments. We know we can read about that. But the point I want you to notice is that not only do we have an appointment with death, but after this is the day of judgment coming. And who are we going to stand before when we're dead? Amen. Yes, our Creator, the one that gave us breath, the one that gave all this to us for us to see His glory. And we're going to stand before Him and give an account. Oh, friend, the Bible declares us all guilty. We read about it in the Word of God. Let's look at that. We know that Cain was guilty, and what happened to him? Judgment came. We know that Achan was guilty, and what happened to him? Judgment came. We read about it all throughout the Scriptures. Ananias was guilty, and judgment came. Friend, you read about it over and over. And now what do we read in the Bible in Romans 3? All the world may become guilty before God. All right, so what we're going to look at this evening, with the Lord's help, we're going to look at what is guilt for all the world. We're going to look at God's vengeance on the guilty, and then we're going to make application with the Lord's help. Amen. Y'all, I appreciate you following along there. So what is guilt? The Bible says in Romans 3:19 that guilt has to do with the law. What law are we talking about? Amen. It's that law that I saw when I walked in the door there. You have it posted right on the wall there. The Ten Commandments, the law of God that He wrote down in two tablets of stone and He gave to Moses. And we have a copy of that written here in Exodus 20. Hallelujah, that's the law. God gave us that law. What did He give the law for? So that we could understand that we are guilty. Huh? That's what guilt has to do with, the law. Guilt has to do with men. It says, unto them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped. So guilt not only has to do with the law, but it has to do with mouths. Does anybody have a mouth in here tonight? Our mouths need to be stopped, and the law stops our mouths. We have no excuse. We're found guilty before God. That's what guilt is. God pronounces guilt. Huh? All the world may become guilty before who? It's not before your mom and dad. It's not before the judge downtown. It's not before the president of the United States. It's before God. God's the one that pronounces guilt. Because we have to give an account. Every single one of us. Especially the ones that aren't sitting in these pews tonight. Oh, my friend, would you get a burden? Would you see the world as God sees the world? Oh, you know what He did. Hallelujah. It's time for some good news. You know, just pronouncing guilt, all this gets dreary. Here's the good news. For God so loved the world. Friend, that includes all the people that aren't sitting in these pews that you rub shoulders with every week. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. What for? Because we're guilty. And what happens to a guilty party before someone on the judgment day? Hey, the guilt is pronounced. I'm guilty, and we can all agree with that. And then what happens? The sentence comes. Huh? But God knew about that too. That's why He sent His Son. What's the Bible saying? John 3:16. We need to read it. Open your Bibles to John 3:16. This is some good news, friend. This is a missions verse for you. Consider what God knew about our day of judgment. And how that we were guilty before Him. In John 3:16, the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him," that's the remedy. But look at why. Look at why we need a remedy. Because the guilty before Him on the day of judgment should not perish. God knew that you and I, when we stood before Him in our sins, guilty as guilty could be, are going to perish. He knew that we had hell to look forward to. And Jesus described hellfire over and over in His speakings in the New Testament. And God warned us in the Psalms in the Old Testament and the prophets in the Old Testament all about the fire of God's judgment and the vengeance of His fire, because He knew that we would perish as a guilty party before Him. That's why He sent His Son. Hallelujah. Now, everybody that's not sitting in this room doesn't always know that. Huh? But have you heard? Do you understand? Huh? Well, let's go tell them. Hey, there's some bad news. Amen. We're all guilty. But let me tell you some good news. What Jesus did about it. How God sent his only begotten son for you and for you and for you. So that we wouldn't have to perish. Huh? You believe that? That's what the Word of God says. That whosoever believeth in him. It's a matter of belief. It really is. Do you believe what God said? Right? Should not perish, but he didn't just want to keep us from the day of judgment and the sentencing to us. Look what he wants to give us. But have everlasting life. Oh, hallelujah. Do you have everlasting life this evening? Huh? Are you walking in the light with the everlasting one tonight? Are you walking by his side by faith? The God of heaven. Do you have that? Have you believed on him? Amen. Hallelujah. Well, what about the one who's your neighbor on the right side of your house or your apartment, right? Who doesn't attend church and you see him all the time out there working on his car, working in his garage, but he doesn't believe on the Lord Jesus. Well, who told you about him, huh? Who brought the good news of Jesus to you? Well, why don't you go tell your neighbor? Well, he doesn't want to listen. Well, did you want to listen? No. God, would you help us, Lord, to have compassion like you do so we can go and share the good news of the gospel but have everlasting life. Oh, my friends, all the world is guilty. What is guilt? Has to do with God, has to do with God's law, has to do with man, that every mouth may be stopped. Turn your Bibles to Exodus 20, and this is a good witnessing tool. Let me encourage you, here in America, there are many people that already know the Ten Commandments, that already believe that God wrote the Ten Commandments, and you can actually take them or actually quote them, if you'd like, to your friends. To your family, maybe you have a mom or a dad or a brother or sister or a niece or a nephew, and you can use the law. What for? To get them guilty. Huh? You're not lost. You can't get saved. Let me show you what the Word of God says about how guilty before God. To agree with God about His truth, right? For all have sinned. What's the Bible say in Exodus 20, verse number 3? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. That's what it says. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Well, we're in America. We don't serve false gods. Friends, look in the mirror. We serve ourselves before God. And I'm guilty. I'm the first one to admit that. God, forgive me. And what do? We serve what our pleasures are. We serve what this flesh wants. Huh? Because why? We're breaking this commandment. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Where's your priorities in your time? Let's just take our time. What are we spending the majority of? And now let's just say free time. Let's say we have 5 hours a week. What are we spending the majority of our free time? We have 5 hours and that's it for the whole week. Free time. What are we choosing to do with that free time? Who's prioritized? Are you serving God in that 5 hours? Or do we find ourselves serving ourselves? Happens often. Amen. Happens often. Then you look at your resources, what God has given you. How are you serving God with your resources? I'm talking about money. I'm talking about capabilities. I'm talking about talents. I'm talking about the things that God's given you. Are you serving Him with those things? If not, huh? What are we doing? We're breaking the first commandment. Thou shalt have no... It just goes on and on. Let's look at it. Look what it says in verse number 7. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Exodus 27. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. You know what we're talking about tonight? Guilty before God. The Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Oh, my friends, when you're witnessing to your neighbor and you're saying, hey, one of the Ten Commandments is, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. You know what you can say to him? You know what verse number 7 says? You're guilty. He's not going to let you get away with that. You're guilty before him. It says it right here. Well, first you ask him, have you ever taken the name of the Lord in vain? Have you ever said the Lord's name? when you weren't talking to him or praising him? Were you using it for another purpose? And that's using his name in vain. And haven't we done that? Lord, help us. We're guilty. And hallelujah, there's some good news coming. Amen. More good news. What's verse number 8 say? Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath day to the Lord thy God. And Jesus told us in Matthew 12:12, it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days. Are you following the word of God as he gave us commands? Are you doing well on the Sabbath day? Or like the first command, do you serve yourself? God help us. Lord help us. Verse number 12, Exodus 20, verse number 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land in which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Boys and girls, young people, are you following this command? Honor thy father and thy mother. Hey, when you open your mouth and speak to your mom and dad, is it in honor? Is it in respect? Hey, when you go and you hear what they say, do you respond with honor and respect? How about the rest of us? Amen, that are moms and dads. Are we still honoring our mom and dad? Are we still honoring them as God gave us command? Hallelujah. I want to follow the Lord. I want to do what he says. Hey, my mom and dad aren't saved. Honor them. God didn't say honor the ones that are saved. He said honor them. Let's honor them in obedience to the Lord and let's follow his way. Or are we guilty? Verse number 13, thou shalt not kill. But you know, we get commentary. God's given us some commentary on these commands. And Matthew, we find out it's not just using a gun. It's not just using a knife with our hands. What is it? Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, Matthew 5:21, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Jesus takes the Ten Commandments and he moves them from our hands to our hearts. Do you know what moves our hands? Do you know what moves our feet? Our hearts do. We choose. Right, what are you going to do on a Friday night? Our hearts make that choice, make that decision. And Jesus says in the New Testament, hey, it's not just killing. If you're angry without a cause, you're guilty. Guilty. What? It doesn't stop there. What's he say? Verse number 14, Exodus 20:14, thou shalt not commit adultery. We have more commentary on that specific command in Matthew 5. You've heard that it was said of them by old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Hallelujah. God looks in my heart. He sees my motives. Yes. God expects my heart to be clean. Yes. Oh, help us, Lord. We're guilty. We've broken God's commands, all of us. And now you see clearly how all the world is guilty because you don't see a bunch of murderers going around and adulterers, but we certainly know from all the things that we see on the news that just the eye and just the thought of the heart is only wicked continually. And so we live among that people today, and God keep us from those things that we might please him. But what about the world? What about us who are guilty still? That's what the law is for, to show us how we're guilty. Exodus 20:15, thou shalt not steal. Jesus gives us commentary in Matthew 5:30, and he says, if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off, cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. One of those many verses where God's connecting us being guilty with a punishment in hell. Now, he doesn't want us to perish there in John 3. Friends, that's what guilt is. It's breaking the law. There's more commands. We're not going to go look at them. You can look at them in your time there. I encourage you to read the Word of God in Exodus 20 and find that. So guilt is exposed sin before a thrice holy God. It results from God's true light, the Word of God, shining on our hearts. It's presently a fully informed conscience that accuses a man's heart of his ungodly, unholy deeds. That's what guilt is. Guilt is simply one unchangeable result of breaking God's holy commands. In two words, guilt is exposed sin. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Friends, the world has been found guilty. We're already condemned. We read that in John 3. So what happens to the guilty? What happens to the guilty? If I stand before God on the judgment day and I'm guilty before Him, which means I die in my sins. Jesus talked about those who would die in their sins. You do not want to die in your sins, my friend. No, sir. You want to be washed in the blood of Jesus. You want to be cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. You don't want to have anything on your account when you stand before Him. And the only way to do that is by the finished work of what Christ did on the cross. That's why we talk about the gospel and that Jesus came. That's why we sing about the resurrection, because you can be free from sin. You can be clean by what Jesus did. And that's the good news. But if you're still in your sins tonight because you've turned that down and you've not believed, huh? We're condemned already. We're guilty before God already. What happens if I stand before God? I've already died, and now it's a day of judgment. And I'm talking to people that aren't in this room. Maybe there's some of you in here. But these are people that you know and that you interact with on a daily basis. And it's not in a church setting, right? It's in the world. And there's all kinds of angst and confusion going on there. How can you be that light and that true light and be that witness and share with all these guilty people what happens to them on the day of judgment? Hebrews 9:27, we already read it. After this, the judgment. So what happens? Romans 12:19 says, "Dearly beloved," let's go there. Open your Bibles, Romans 12:19. Hallelujah. Romans 12:19. The Bible says, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord." It's His. It's not ours. So what's going to happen on the day of judgment? The full, unhindered wrath of God and vengeance upon the guilty. Huh? Yes. You can get a picture, a glimpse of that in Revelation when you read about the wrath of God in Revelation. Vengeance is the Lord's. Deuteronomy 32:35. Let's look at that one. Deuteronomy 32:35. What happens when I stand before God in my sin and I have not been washed in the blood of Jesus? Deuteronomy 32:35. "To me belongeth vengeance." We already read that in Romans 12, but we got it a second time here. There's probably three or four other times you can read the same thing. It's not ours. "But to me belongeth vengeance and recompense. Their foot shall slide in due time." Their foot shall slide. It's going to come to pass. And what happens when you slide? Do you fall up or do you fall down? This is the guilty party standing in the presence of a holy God, and it's judgment day. Their foot shall slide. Psh! Nothing to hold on to. Nothing to bank on. Down you go. Huh? "In due time, for the day of their calamity is at hand, and the things that shall come upon them make haste." You can read about it in Proverbs 2. God's going to laugh on that day of judgment at those that reject Him. Friends, this is not meant for you and I. This is not meant for any of God's beloved people. He designed hell as a place for the devil and his angels. He didn't make it for you and I. That's why He sent His Son to make a way of escape so that you and I could be forgiven, so that we could be redeemed, so that we could be a people of God, so that we could be a child of God, so that we could be born again, so that we wouldn't have to slide. Everlasting fire. Everlasting shame and contempt. And the people that aren't sitting in these pews beside you that you rub shoulders with every week. Friends, this is true for them if they turn away from Jesus, if they believe not. And let me encourage you, don't stop, don't hesitate to tell them about the Savior. But if they reject Jesus, amen, go on to the next one, because there's another one, and there's another one, and there's another one. Hallelujah. And God's going to use you as a lighthouse and a witness to share with these people a message of hope. And that one that rejected you the first time, God's going to put him or her in your path again, Lord willing. And when he does that, be a faithful witness. Tell them again. Well, look what they did last time. What did you do the first time someone told you about Jesus? How many times did you have to hear the good news before God moved upon your heart and you surrendered and said, Lord, I need you. Don't hesitate, my friend. I want to encourage you. Give out the good news of the gospel. Tell them about a day of judgment that's coming. Tell them about being guilty. Have you read the Ten Commandments before the Almighty God? Their foot shall slide. It's going to happen. It shall come to pass. You read about that in the Bible. It's going to happen on the day of judgment. We're just talking about it now. But our day, our turn's coming, just like everyone else's. So what happens to the guilty? God's vengeance happens to the guilty. Nahum, I want to go there. Nahum chapter 1. Nahum chapter 1. Lord help us. Nahum chapter 1. Look at verse number 3. Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk. All right? Nahum chapter 1. Verse number 3. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power and will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord hath his way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. Verse 4. He rebuketh the sea and maketh it dry, and drieth up all the rivers. Bashan languisheth in Carmel, and the flower of Lebanon languishes. Verse 5. The mountains quake at him, and the hills melt, and the earth is burned at his presence, yea, the world and all that dwell therein. Who can stand before his indignation? And who can abide in the fierceness of his anger? His fury is poured out like fire, and the rocks are thrown down by him. This is the God with whom we have to give an account, mind you. This is a description of him and his vengeance and his fury against wicked ways and wicked people. But verse number 7 says, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. Hallelujah! You know, when your friend hears that he's guilty before a holy God, you can give him a way out. Huh? Trust in the Lord. Trust alone in the Lord, in the finished work of Jesus on the cross. Because the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. And he knoweth them that trust in him. But look what verse 8 says. But with an overrunning flood, he will make an utter end of the place thereof, and darkness shall pursue his enemies. Let's go do quickly, make an application. Romans 10. Go to Romans 10, verse number 14. Make application. And darkness shall pursue his enemies. Did you know that when we break God's commands, when we disobey and reject Christ, God knows that we're his enemy? We are his enemy. The people that aren't in this room are his enemy. And all those that are friends of this world, enemies of God. And what's God want us to do about those that are being enemies? Romans 10, 14. What's the Bible say? Hallelujah. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How are they going to do it? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? They're guilty before a holy God and they haven't heard. And how shall they hear without a preacher? Look what it says in verse 15. And how shall they preach except they be sent? Listen, it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach what? The gospel of peace. Hallelujah. Go tell this world, even though they're an enemy of God, even though they're guilty on the day of judgment, even though they have the vengeance of eternal everlasting fire hanging over their heads, that there's a gospel of peace and they can have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Go give it to them, amen, and bring what? Glad tidings. You can smile when you're telling them of good things. Friends, that's what we're doing. That's what the Corner family is doing. We have a gospel of peace and glad tidings to bring down to the people of the Dominican Republic. And we're glad to share it with you tonight. Maybe there's someone here that doesn't know. Maybe there's someone here that's guilty, who's an enemy of God. Maybe there's someone right next door to you that you'll see tomorrow that needs to hear about a gospel of peace. Maybe they don't know they're an enemy of God yet. Maybe you got to share with them the law and show them how they broke God's commands and they need a gospel of peace, huh? Maybe that's happening. Would you stand to your feet, bow your heads? Let's pray. Father, we thank you, God, for this evening. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege we've had to look into your word and, Father, to read thy truths. God, how we're guilty before you. All the world is found guilty. But, Father, we thank you so much for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the peace that's found in him, Lord, that we might have the forgiveness of sins. God, that we might be called the children of God, the sons of God. Father, what a privilege and an honor. Father, we praise you. We lift up your high and holy and great name. But God, we know that you're terrible, Lord, that you will bring vengeance of fire, eternal fire on the unbelieving, ungodly people. Lord, would you help us to go out and share and bring the good news of the gospel of peace so that they might be reconciled to you. Father, here we are. Would you use us? God, we're your willing vessels. Father, we're yielded unto you. Lord, would you use your truth through our lives, your love through our hearts, Lord, to express to the people here in North Carolina and beyond, God, of your great love, of your gospel, Lord, of thy truth. Now, Father, if there's someone here tonight that has rejected you and, Lord, that has the suffering of eternal fire hanging over their head, Father, I pray they wouldn't leave this place yet, Lord, before they call upon you. For, Lord, we know that you are a wonderful Savior and, Lord, that you'll hear the call of those that are humble and agree with your word. Father, we thank and praise you for your goodness to us tonight. Lord, would you encourage your saints? Father, would you help those that have been redeemed in this place, Lord, to go out with the good news of the gospel and the glad tidings of good things? And God, would you allow them to be a lighthouse and a witness in their place? Now, Father, we'll thank you for these things. You're great and mighty and wonderful. Do your mighty work now in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.